It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sabres had a nice run, but that ended last night at home to Florida. Revenge game for the Panthers after losing here earlier this season.
By the same score.
Oh.
Don't think that escaped their attention, buddy.
That's how serious it was.
They kept going.
We only want to win this game 5-2. No other score will do. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here at Roswell Park. Paul Hamilton joins us now on the West Her Hotline. Paul, sorry I missed you yesterday.
Yes, I'm sorry you didn't feel well.
Yes, thank you. Better today. How would you characterize last night's Sabres loss?
Well, before I start, one thing I would say, you know, when you looked at the October schedule before things got going and you're seeing, well, they've got three games against arguably the best two teams in the NHL in this month, Dallas and Florida. Would you take 2-1?
100%.
Yeah. And that's what they wound up against as I said, arguably the two best teams in the league right now. And they went 2-1. And, you know, quite frankly, even though they didn't play their best game last night, as Lindy Ruff said, it was there for them.
Paul, I liked them last night. I really did. It was one of those nights where, you know, the few things happening, right? They won three in a row. I liked especially the last two of those three wins, how they're playing, and I liked how they played last night so much that in the third period, I'm like, really? Of course, I always want them to win. I want them to do well. Yada yada. Like, need I even say that? I was really invested. Like, get a goal here. Just come on, get me a goal here. Make it 3-3, and you know, I just try to get the more out of curiosity to see if they could tie it up and then like nurse a game to overtime against that team, right? Because I think, you know, there are some signs here that they're playing overall like a very good brand of hockey that I think can serve them well, and that would have been another thing that I haven't really seen them do, like get the tie game into the garage and just take your chances on, you know, either settling for the loser point or get the extra point. So I mean it sounds weird to say you really liked them on a night they lost 5-2, but I thought they were pretty good.
Well, it definitely wasn't a 5-2 game. I mean, it, as you said, it was very close. And, you know, the loser point is something we've discussed for how many years now? I mean, they were one of the worst teams in the league last year at getting the loser point. Quite frankly, it likely cost them a playoff spot because they were so bad at it. So they got to get better at that. They got to be able to get games to overtime, even if it's your B game or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Get it to overtime and get that loser point. And who knows? Maybe you'll get the second point, too, once you get it to overtime. You don't know what can happen there. So, and it was right there for them, and that's what Lindy Ruff said. He goes, it was right there for us to take it, but we just weren't good enough to do it.
Right.
And they were, you know, one goal down when Dahlin, with about 7 minutes left to go in regulation, takes a really dumb penalty, and it looked like a frustration penalty, where he wheels around and slashes a guy in the face. Yep. And now you're shorthanded. And now you're going to be down 4-2 because you gave up the power play goal, and now it's pretty much out of reach. You already came back 2. And it's not every day that you're able to come back from a 2-0 deficit against the defending Stanley Cup champions here. They're good at locking her down.
Yeah.
They did it. You know, they figured out a way to do it, and they tied the game. But there was too many mistakes. And that part I liked. But and Lindy Ruff, again, I'll reference it afterwards. He said, he goes, how many outnumbered situations did we have? And I didn't remember any. He goes, you're right. He goes, how many did they have?
Right.
He goes, and we just gave them way too much. They took advantage of it. And, you know, even in the first period, it was brought up that, well, yeah, you had a good first period. He goes, did we? He goes, how many, you know, we gave up 3 outnumbered, 1 in the net. And I agreed with them. I mean, the shots were 8-4 at one point. But I thought to myself, and I said to Brian, I go, yeah, they had 8 shots. Were any considered a real scoring chance? You know, and while the Panthers are running the other way, outnumbered, and Buffalo takes the first 3 penalties of the game, and, of course, one costs them because unexplicitly. And this isn't something that they have to clean up. It just started. It happened in this game only. And it happened twice where Samuelson is all set with Barkov behind the net. He's got him.
Right.
There's no problem at all. Dahlin's in front with the 57-goal scorer and Sam Reinhart. No problem at all. And all of a sudden, Dahlin decides he's coming to the back of the net. Why?
Yeah.
The guy back there has his guy. If you stay with Reinhart, Barkov can make any type of pass he wants to, but he's not going to get it to Reinhart because Dahlin will pick it off. But he just decides, killing a penalty, it was time to put two guys on the guy behind the net and leave the 57-goal scorer out in front. And then later on, for the game-winning goal, Tage Thompson's back-checking. He's got Verhaeghe, and he decides to just roam to the middle of the ice, right where one of his teammates is. Again, now you've got two guys on one. Verhaeghe's standing there all by himself. He gathers up the rebound and puts it in the net. And that's not something I remember being a problem. I haven't left any games thinking, oh, boy, they got to fix that up. But between the penalties, some of the senseless penalties, and that, they just couldn't overcome it.
Yeah, those were two blunders by Dahlin. One, you know, it really kind of bookending the game, if you will. And thank you for correcting me. Mike and I were talking about it earlier. I said Dahlin got bailed out there, but he didn't. I was thinking of an earlier exchange in the third period where Krebs, I think, was involved in a scrum, and that ended up sawing off.
He got bailed out, and that was going to be a dumb penalty, too, until
the
Panthers did him a favor.
It absolutely was. Right. So, yeah, Dahlin, we talked some about him already earlier today. Like, where are we with him, Paul? Like, is the injury crutch still there from, you know, the beginning of training camp? Because, you know, I can respect a guy trying to play through something, but should we be done with that by now?
At some points, yes. Go to the Detroit game. Rasmussen's a big man. He's in front of the net. Dahlin couldn't handle him, and he winds up picking up the rebound. And I thought to myself right away, if that's a core injury that Dahlin has and we don't know, he probably isn't as strong as he would like to be, and the injury could have affected him there. The two mistakes we just talked about had nothing to do with injury at all. He's just not himself at all. You know, even when he is himself, I still think they need him to be better. They need him to be elite if they ever want to be a championship team. You know, Tampa Bay had Hedman, and Colorado has Makar. I mean, they need him in that category, I think, to be a championship team. He's never been there. You know, he's been an all-star. He's been pretty good.
Yeah.
He's been very good.
They might need him to be on that level to make the playoffs. And that would be, like, he knows that, you know? Like, that's a lot to – that's a huge amount of responsibility and pressure. And I bet there are times when even, like, the most – high-end athlete would get discouraged. You know, like, I have to – he can't afford mistakes. He makes mistakes, and we're talking about it.
Right.
You know, like, he's still great, but the standard is so high for him, and he's going on 500 games in the league now without a sniff of the postseason.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with any of that. And quite honestly, in my opinion, right now he's not even the best player on his pair. I don't know if it's just getting to him being the captain, but and the whole nine yards of everything. And I'll throw this out there. He might be one guy that is missing Don Granato, because talk about coddling somebody. Don Granato coddled him. Remember, he was just nowhere. He was playing this bad or worse.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, Don Granato decided that every single time he gets to a microphone, he is going to make Rasmus Dahlin sound like Bobby Orr. He's going to talk about how great he played, what a great practice he had. And he did it every single time, and all of a sudden, Dahlin, he turned right around and became a really good player. Because it just seemed like Dahlin thought to himself, hey, my coach has my back. And it worked. Even though, you know, at times – Granato looked ridiculous talking about how great Dahlin was in a game where he was awful, but it worked, and he turned it around. And maybe he takes pressure out of Lindy. Lindy Ruff's not afraid to stand in the microphone like last night and say, we can't have that. You know, and he called out more than one player, and Dahlin was one of them last night.
He mentioned Abe Kubel by name.
Yep.
When do you see Cody? Like, if you were looking for evidence of Lindy Ruff and the word accountability being in effect, I think last night's postgame, and not that he was running hot either. He was pretty matter of fact, like you already said. You know, it was right there. We just weren't good enough. I appreciated how frank that was. You know, like, we just weren't good enough. The bounces or this or that, we just weren't good enough. So, I don't know, maybe it's an interesting time here to see how everybody responds to that, because I haven't been taking notes every one of these post-game media scrums or even in these pre-game ones that we have on our show. I felt like Lindy was, again, he wasn't like broken mad or anything, but he was direct and pointed in some criticism of guys last night in a way that I have rarely heard this year.
He wasn't happy, and he called out Darlene pretty much by name too, saying that was a careless gamble, him going behind the net like that. When we were talking about Darlene and we were talking about the play, and he described it as a careless gamble going behind there. You know, I was thinking about that, you know, Darlene really excelled under Granato when Granato decided to really stand behind him. And, you know, maybe he's having trouble with the new coach.
Did Krebs – or not Krebs, Cousins or Quinn get mentioned by name last night? I missed the press conference. I mean, just getting stomped, Paul. Shot attempts, 5-on-5, just getting stomped.
My thought is – and I brought this up before – he played with Team Canada. He played left wing. He has never once played left wing in the NHL. He's played right wing, but not left wing. He was like
Cousins. You know, we're talking about here.
Yeah, he was elite playing left wing with Team Canada. Why don't they ever try it? It may not work, but why not take a little pressure off this guy? Throw him over on left wing. Maybe put Krebs in the middle or something, and see if it works. If it works, great. I mean, it just seems like they're banging their head against the wall right now. And why not try something a little bit different? And maybe Cousins won't be totally on board with it. But if he starts scoring goals like he did with Team Canada, he'll be totally on board with it. Yeah. He never complained when he was with Team Canada playing over on the left wing. And it worked for him on the power play. It worked for him 5-on-5. So I'm just thinking to myself, it's to a point now, why not try it and see if it works? You got other guys who can play center. Krebs can play center. Kulik can play center. Kulik's probably a better center than he is a wing anyway. Why not give it a shot?
That's something to ponder, and I think it's also we'll see what the timeline is on Benson returning. I know, you know, he went to IR, but retroactively, so I don't know. I guess we'll find out maybe tomorrow if there's any hope for him for the weekend. But Quinn's got to be the guy that comes out at this point, Paul. He just is a liability. Like, so that pair, like Cousins is getting shots and just can't score. Quinn is just, I don't know, they're just dragging each other down at this point. Like, I might need to just break that pair up, and a way to do that is just plop Benson over there if he's healthy.
That's the thing, because Lindy Ruff has talked about he likes to keep pairs together, and Quinn and Cousins are one of those pairs, but maybe it is time to, you know, see what you can. Because the thing was, is for that 4-1-1 stretch, they were second in the league in scoring. Goal scoring, but those two have not beaten a goaltender all year. They have one goal, and it was an empty netter. So you were second in the league in goal scoring, getting nothing from those two in your top six. In your top six forwards, you got nothing from them. And Zucker is a guy who has two power play goals, but he doesn't have anything 5-on-5 either, because the Thompson line all of a sudden took over, and you know they were basically scoring at will. So they were getting away with it. Scoring 4.5 goals a game, getting nothing out of that group, those two. So they can't keep that up.
No.
I don't think they can keep up 4.5 goals a game, getting nothing from those two. It's just, they did it for six games, but I don't think they can keep doing it and keep getting away with it.
Quinn with the empty net goal Saturday, kind of an amazing sequence at the end of that game against Detroit to finish that one off. Very good, Paul. Any questions for us? World Series? Sorry,
sore
subject.
It's just been a waste. I mean, I'm not even mad about it. It's just like the team just hasn't even shown up. I mean, it's not like you sit there and go, oh, geez, if they could just do it.
Judge?
Yeah, but even if he's hitting, Where's everybody else?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the pitching's not good. Nobody is hitting. The manager's not good. It's just nothing. It's just been a complete, utter fall apart collapse from top to bottom. And as I said, when you're not even close, it's not like you're saying, oh, geez, it's been so close. It's not like when you go for the game-winning field goal in the Super Bowl and it goes wide right or something like that. When you're,
how dare you?
You've played really well.
Right.
They haven't played really well.
No, instead, the announcers last night are crediting Judge because he made contact. He put the ball in play.
Yikes.
I mean, holy cow, the mighty have fallen.
Tough business.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, at least he didn't strike out again.
So I really don't have it. I'm kind of numb to the whole thing. It's just like, it's not like I'm mad about it or anything. It's like, you didn't even show up. You're not even in the range of you know, trying to win this series. And yeah, people say, well, there have been teams that come back. They've done it to the Yankees, come back from 3-0. Really? You really think that's happening here?
Paul, Kevin Millar is not walking through that door. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, you really think that's going to happen here? Even if Judge hits three home runs tonight, you really think that's happening, that the Yankees are going to come back and win four in a row?
I guess it's just that it could.
Zach, flag this for when it happens so we can make Paul look stupid.
It probably won't, but it could.
And he won't care because he'll have seen the Yankees win the World Series, and that would be fine with him.
Yeah. Yep. Don't mind being wrong in this case.
No.
Paul, thank you.
Take care, guys.
That's our man Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. His appearances here on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Game four tonight in New York. Sabres are off until Friday night against the Islanders. Earlier, we talked to Ross Tucker about the Bills, their place in the AFC picture, and also what the Colts did today with Anthony Richardson. We'll have that for you next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.